Time now coming up to 10 minutes past four. Last week, the Irish bishops called on politicians to choose life and to make positive choice on the question of abortion, on the grounds that abortion is never the humane or compassionate solution, even in difficult or tragic circumstances. And Catholic Comment has welcomed this call by the Irish bishops. I'm joined on the line now by Martin Daly of Catholic Comment. Martin Daly, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Aidan. Thanks for having me on again.
Martin Daly, the first point is, while the Catholic bishops are entitled to express the position which the Catholic Church takes in relation to abortion, is it acceptable in a democracy in 2012 for the bishops to be telling the Doyle and Shannon politicians how they should vote on this particular issue?
Well, I put it the other way around. I mean, the Church is a member of what's now called civil society groups, you know, and that it's recognised it has a voice in society and its voice should be heard. So I don't accept that argument to begin with because, I mean, the Church being the Church feels it has a duty and an obligation to bring people to what it sees as the truth, and it would be failing in its duty if it didn't do it, be it a bishop or a layperson, you know.
But surely the extent of its duty is to explain to the people of Ireland its teaching in relation to abortion and then to allow the people decide if there's going to be another referendum or, in the case of elected national politicians, they decide without feeling a certain degree of, well, if I may put it like this, a belt from the bishop's crozier.
Well, I think that day the belt from the bishop's crozier is well gone. I think as long as the Church can articulate in charity what it thinks is the truth, then it has a right and a duty and an obligation to do it. Because we have to remember most of our politicians are baptised Christians and Christian leaders. It's their duty then to articulate the vision of the human person they think is most compassionate, most just and the best for the good of society. The Church is all for the common good. It's not for, you know, restricting people. I think we've the wrong view of things in that sense. You know, it's not literally kind of putting a terrible pressure on people. It feels its duty and its obligation is to bring people to what it thinks is best for society. And to do that, you know, within the proper parameters of which it has itself, you know.
You use the phrase there, the common good. Really, can the Church be seriously concerned with the common good, bearing in mind what we now know, which has arisen out of child sexual abuse and other abuse over the course of the past 20 years or so?
Well, you see, I'm not here to defend the indefensible, and I think you raised this point with me before, and I think that, you know, we all baptised Christians have a duty, particularly if they feel themselves that the common good is in affirming life and affirming positive choices and affirming a culture that really makes every person, every individual valued, no matter what their stage is on the journey of life. And I think, like, you know, we can't ever defend the indefensible, and you won't find me having any truck with that.
Now, can I talk specifically about the question of abortion? You know, and I know, and I'm sure our listeners know, that in 1992, the Supreme Court ruled on the so-called X case and effectively found that the wording which was inserted in the Constitution in 1983 provides for an abortion where the life as opposed to the health of the mother is at risk, including suicide. There was a recent decision of the European Court of Human Rights, the so-called ABC case. Effectively, as a result of those two cases, there is abortion in Ireland. Abortion is legal as a result of the Supreme Court decision in the X case, and certainly part reading of the ABC case suggests the same. The position you find yourselves in, I presume, is that if there is going to be another debate on abortion, it's going to have to involve another referendum.
You could be right there, Aidan, that maybe the only way this can be solved is to have another referendum. But I think in regard to the X case judgment, you know, there was divided opinion and the Supreme Court justices recorded that, and there was an acknowledgement that there was a failure to actually defend fully the right of the unborn child in the sense of the representation made for it. And however, in the case of the European situation, they're not actually looking for Ireland to legislate for abortion. That's a misinterpretation. They're actually looking for clarity in which it can be specified that the life of the mother is genuinely at risk. Now, we can, in that case, refer to the fact that the existing constitutional protection will allow for the mother to have whatever treatment she needs to save her life. Unfortunately, the unattended or indirect consequence of that may be the loss of the life of the unborn child. But that's not to be confused with the deliberate termination of life in the sense of the abortion sense, you know. So the ABC judgments are looking for clarification. And I think that, you know, we've got to kind of really get these issues straight and clear to begin with. You know, there is no right to abortion in any European convention. They're looking for clarity in relation to the circumstances.
And that's a very valid point. And that is a very valid point, Martin Daly. But the point I would make to you is that as a result of the decision in the X case, abortion is legal in Ireland. What has not happened is that the government, successive governments, and this is not a party political point, successive governments have made it, have failed in their duty effectively to give legislative effect to the X case judgment.
Well, it's a question as to whether abortion itself is legal or not, because the circumstances in which the life of the mother, and there has been divided opinion and majority opinion in the psychological profession, would be that there is a greater risk of suicide post-abortion. So you're right, there is a bit of a limbo, if I can use that unfortunate theological comparison, and it does need to be cleared up. And I think, Aidan, you got it spot on from the beginning, that it probably will necessitate a referendum, or that the expert group, God willing, if they come out with recommendations to the effect that the clarity can be given and that existing constitutional provisions can protect the life of the mother when it's seriously at risk. But I sense that you're probably right that the only way this might be solved is a referendum. I could be wrong.
There's a certain irony on all of this, of course. I'm old enough to remember the debate in 1983, and the wording which was inserted into the Constitution was wording which was agreed upon by the then legal advisor to the so-called pro-life campaign, Professor William Binchy. Another wording had been put forward by the then Fine Gael Attorney General Peter Sutherland, which was rejected by Professor Binchy and I think by others. But ironically, the wording which was inserted into the Constitution was a wording which was devised by Professor Binchy himself, who happened to be legal advisor to your campaign. That is rather ironic.
You don't have to say my campaign. I was a young fella at the time.
Well, I was a young fella too, but I was observing this closely. And to that campaign.
Yeah, but I think, first of all, I think we cannot, nobody can see around the proverbial corners. I mean, the fact that I referred to that judgment having the minority view, you know, people make policies, and often people's own perspective of the law and how to read things, you know, can be reflected in final judgments. I mean, often even you may have one Supreme Court judge disagreeing with other. It's not easy to get it right. I think we don't have the wisdom of Solomon, you know.
Yes, but that is very true. But the point is, and what worries me about the attitude of the so-called pro-life campaign now is that because the judgment of the Supreme Court went the way it did, you regard it as being flawed, and therefore that there may in fact be a need for a further referendum. And if the Supreme Court in that instance comes up with a judgment you don't like, you'll want a further one. There's a certain attack on democracy here.
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. I think if you look at take that judgment to its logical extent, to extend it and say that any unborn child could lose its life in the case of suicide being argued, then you can see yourself logically that it's open-ended and that, you know, it's a horrific thought, really, you know. And I don't think it would be fair, even with due respect to yourself, to talk about the perversion of democracy, because, you know, there are loads of NGOs, loads of groups with money campaigning with from different political and philosophical perspectives. It's a fair arena, it's a fair field, everyone's voice can be heard. And, you know, that's what democracy is about. And I suppose you're living it there on the radio, having me on, you know.
A final thought, Martin Daly. Would you be anxious that if another referendum is deemed necessary, that there would at least be a more civilised campaign than the one which graced this country 30 years ago?
Well, look, it's very hard. I mean, I've always believed, you know, that we have to argue things reasonably and in charity. And it is, we're all human, you know, and when people on either side be very, very strongly about something, you know, passions can get, you know, carried away. And I'd agree with you, you know, we have to have a civilised and reasonable debate, you know, because we're all human beings and we must treat each other with respect and respect each other's values. And I really believe myself that the light of reason is engraved in every human heart. And, you know, we can bring people to what I see as, you know, the truth. And, you know, we may disagree, others mightn't. But I've gone through this myself. I mean, when I was in college in my younger years, I would have considered myself pro-abortion. And I don't want as well to have a kind of maybe the zeal of the convert and go down people's throats, you know. Mm. And I have had met women hurt by abortion, and I have a very good friend who brought an Edwards baby to full life, you know, was just grieving when she lost the baby, you know, and took the pro-life route. And, you know, there's a human being in the heart of each story, and I really believe that, you know, for a really, really good, compassionate society, we have to choose life, you know.
Very good. We have to leave it there, Martin Daly. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this afternoon.
Aidan, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. God bless.
Bye-bye for now. Thank you. And that's Martin Daly of the Western section of Catholic Comment.